Did Hugh make a move away from Peyton Thorne a little too quickly? Let's dive into it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. We're summoning up the bug. We're trying to muster up some bug. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. I almost got tongue-tied there. And happy Monday. Happy Monday after another big loss to Arkansas. And we're going to try to figure out what's going on. We're going to try to dive in all week and see if there's any chance of redemption for this team. Talk a little bit about this quarterback situation. Did we move too fast? Did we move too fast with Hank? Break that down, talk about it, and see what we come up with. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit on your first, double up bonus on your first deposit. Give them whatever, $200, $300. They're going to give you that amount back on top, free to play with. So you can hit all of the sports betting lines. You can hit all the live betting lines. If you love the live bet, they have a really cool live betting platform. And they also have every single game you can ever imagine, every single sport you can imagine. They got it there. If you're a cricket guy, you want to get on cricket, they got some cricket stuff. I think they even got some horse racing, all kind of stuff. You got to check them out at mybookie.ag. Don't forget your double up deposit bonus with next round. All right, so I'm probably going to catch some heat for this, but let's talk about it. Did we move too fast on Hank Brown? Did we move too quickly on this quarterback change? And I think it's a fair question. I had Jim Dunaway on last night for Live with C5, if you want to go back and check that out. He brought up some really good points, and I'm guilty for, you know, I don't know that I necessarily called for a change, but I basically was excited. I was caught up in the hype of a change. I really felt like Hank sort of had it mentally to be able to handle pressure. I think if you remember the show, I think it was either last Thursday or Friday, I talked about adversity. And that's one thing that Hank was going to see, and it's one thing that I needed to see Hank handle was adversity. Now, look, the book is not written on Hank as far as his career at Auburn or his career as a college quarterback, but I needed to see some adversity. I said he's going to throw an interception. And he did. He threw three, but that early one, I knew there was going to be at least one interception. It's just way too hard in the SEC, regardless of the opponent, to go in there and not make some mistakes. I said he's probably going to get sacked. He actually didn't get sacked. That's one thing he did really well. He avoided the pressure. He kept his eyes downfield early on in the game. The second or third play, he manipulated the pocket. Didn't freak out and kind of rolled out and threw a dart to, I believe, maybe Keandre Lambert-Smith or Cam Coleman, the low and outside NFL-type throw. That was really good. But I was concerned. I wasn't necessarily concerned. I felt like he would be able to handle the adversity. And, you know, he's a freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. And I noticed, again, talked about this on Saturday, I noticed sort of after that first interception, when it got to the second quarter and we started going the opposite direction, I noticed the feet. I noticed the feet starting to shuffle. I noticed that he started to sort of seem like he was spinning a little bit. And I mentioned it and kind of got scoffed at. And then he threw, I mentioned in the group text, kind of got scoffed at. And then he threw, obviously, the really, really bad interception. And then he threw the other one later on. So my question is, and Jim Dunaway brought this up, is, you know, did we move on from Hank a little too quickly? Peyton Thorne had a very, very good game against Arkansas last year. And that was, it felt like that was that little stretch where the play calling had really changed. Seemed like that was that little stretch that Hugh took over. And honestly, Peyton on the road carved him up, dominated him. There was just could do whatever he wanted to with the football. The running game was really good. The play action game was really good. He was accurate. I don't think he threw for like 300 yards, but I think he was very efficient, and it was a really good game. So the first two games, we talked about how we felt like the playbook, we're probably asking too much of what we have at quarterback, trying too hard to get these receivers involved. And sure enough, Hugh says the exact same thing in his press conference. I think we're asking too much. We have to condense the playbook. And I felt like, hey, that benefits Peyton, but it also brings Hank into play, which it did. It brought Hank into play as far as becoming the starter. He had an unbelievable week of practice, and then he goes in against New Mexico and has a really good game. But again, I did say that I felt like at the time that Peyton probably would have had that type of game. There was a little bit of adversity with the weather. There was a little bit of adversity with, you know, the defense giving up some early scores and it being a tight game. Hank had to had two drives, I believe, where he was behind. And I worried about Peyton being able to handle that, you know, handle that adversity, because he struggled at times. But I still wonder if, like Jim said, if we went too quickly away from Thorne and went to Hank and put Hank in a really tough spot, and maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case. I'm curious to see which way we go for Arkansas. I assume we may get some answers. You know, those questions are going to be asked at the press conference today. I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments. Do you think we went away from Thorne too quickly? And here's one reason why I think the answer may be yes. Now, granted, I don't even want to say you come in with no, there's no really risk. You come in where there's no really, I guess, no pressure, because you're down 7. There's still a lot of pressure and you could win the game. The difference I saw in Peyton in this game versus against Cal is, I watched the Aaron Murray snaps video on YouTube, which I think is incredible to watch him break down each. He does an awesome job. I don't even know why he would want to break down Auburn's quarterback situation, but probably because it gets a lot of views. But still, Peyton threw the ball with a lot more anticipation. The very first down that we got when Peyton was in there was a third and long. It was a third and, you know, maybe 10 or 11, maybe even 12. And he threw a very, very, very long anticipation route to the outside that was in the ball in the air for a very long time. But you can watch Aaron Murray. He diagrams and shows you that when the ball's out, the receiver is not even making his break yet. So we're getting the ball out a little bit quicker, maybe having a little bit more anticipation on our throws. And he did that multiple times. Now, I'm not saying he was perfect. There was some stuff that was, you know, there was some stuff that was typical Peyton, where we had a touchdown to Malcolm Simmons and we didn't quite lead him enough, and maybe threw a little bit more of a jump ball versus trying to lead him, and it probably could have been a touchdown. But you just wonder sometimes, you just wonder when you're watching this, is you watched how Peyton played last year against Arkansas with a condensed playbook. He hadn't really got that shot yet, you know, to take. He was asked to go out and try to throw it all over the field, throw it deep, throw it, get all these guys involved. In the first two games, your pass protection was sort of suspect. He's dropping way back, throwing deep, and he didn't get a lot of these, you know, short intermediate type things. And I wonder now, did we move away from that too fast? And should we have gone with Peyton as far as with that condensed playbook and try to see if you can build from that and find something? Because there was a little bit of something in that second half where you saw him be a little bit more confident in throwing the ball and getting it out quick. Now, he wasn't perfect again, and I understand that there's a lot of animosity built towards him, and some of it's deserved. But I think it's a fair question to ask. I have no idea what you do Saturday, and I don't think – and Hugh, out of his own mouth, says that I'm not sure yet what we're going to do Saturday, but we're going to be locked in to try to figure out which way to go. And I'd love to know your thoughts. And one of the reasons that I think maybe you go to Peyton Thorne, we're going to talk about at the end of the show. But there's one more, there's another little thing about this quarterback battle that I want to address. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Retirement Results presented by Active Wealth. There's no reason for you not to make sure. There's no reason for you not to double check, triple check, verify that what you have currently, as far as retirement goes, as far as savings goes, is performing at the level it needs to be performing, is reducing the amount of fees that you, it reduces as many fees as you possibly can, and then doing everything you can to delete the IRS from your retirement account. You need to make sure, you need to double check, you need to verify, you need to reach out to Ford Stokes with retirementresults.com/plan. It's risk-free. It's zero cost. It would typically cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500+ to have some sort of analysis like this. And Ford Stokes is going to do it for you and do it for the Auburn fans absolutely free. Big Auburn guy, tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you. Make a friend at the same time. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. The short leash comment. A couple of weeks ago. That kind of came out shortly, I believe, in that Monday press conference. I think Monday press conference, or maybe it was Wednesday teleconference. I don't remember which one, but the week of the New Mexico game, short leash came out. Okay, and we associated that with Peyton Thorne. We right off the bat associated that with Peyton Thorne. But I'm curious now, that is that a comment meant for both quarterbacks? You're on, hey, it's a short leash. And after seeing Hank be pulled in the first half, could that be something that you see moving forward? That, hey, if there seems to be stagnation, if there seems to be issues, could we see a little bit more of a quarterback? I don't want to say rotation, but quick to sub, quick to pull. I hope that that's not the case, but I don't think right now either one of them really gives you the best chance to win. So maybe you do. Maybe that is something that you see moving forward. You see Hank start Saturday with a short leash, or you see Peyton at the same thing. Now, it seemed to actually help Peyton because Peyton came in with a little bit of piss and vinegar about him and start ripping the ball down the field. The throw to the long touchdown to Keandre Lambert-Smith was a dart. He threw an absolute dart, and, you know, great decision, a ballsy throw on fourth down. And Keandre Lambert-Smith has, you know, takes it to the house. Sidebar right here. What a pickup Keandre Lambert-Smith was. What a great job Will Redmond and guys did in their first real opportunity in the portal to be able to pick up that kid. He's really on pace to have one of the better receiving seasons, even with all the struggles we've had at quarterback. He's definitely a bright spot and something that you can point to when you talk about proof of concept. He's somebody that you can point to say, hey, we can get you the ball. We're trying to figure out some stuff, but we can get you the ball. And there's clearly proof. I mean, he had a couple of even more opportunities to make some big plays. But he's continually been a reliable guy to go to, and I'm sorry to sidebar, but I gotta give that guy some love. He's playing really good. But yeah, so I don't really know what the rotation is going to look like, but the short leash comment, now I'm starting to think that that wasn't just meant towards Peyton. I think that was just meant in general, and maybe you do see the quarterbacks have a little bit of more urgency about them to be able to make the right decisions and execute. Sometimes that works for folks and sometimes it doesn't. It's like I said, it seemed to kind of fire Peyton up. He went out in the second half and I thought played pretty well, got us in position to tie the game, maybe even, you know, there were maybe even win the game. And you had the uncharacteristic drop. I say uncharacteristic, that same routes he's done it twice now, but from Cam Coleman, the tip ball off his hands. Regardless, I thought Peyton played pretty well in the second half. And I mean, believe it or not, I know there were some garbage time passing yards, 30 or 40 yards to add to it, but, you know, over 200 yards in the second half and pretty decent completion percentage. And I don't put that interception on him. That rotation seemed to maybe fire him up a little bit. So could that be something you see? It does seem like Hugh's got – he's very disappointed, disgusted with himself and with the quarterback play in general. And he said, I got to find somebody that's not going to throw it to the other team. And that's about as simple as you can possibly put it, but it's true. Got to find somebody that just can protect the ball. I mean, if you cut the turnovers in half, if you cut the interceptions in half over these last two games, Cal and Arkansas, if you just throw four interceptions instead of eight, if you just have four turnovers instead of 10, I believe there was 10 in those two games, or five in those two games, you probably win both games. That is something that is a silver lining. That is something that you can look at. If you can figure out how to not turn the ball over, if you can figure out how to protect the ball, the defense is coming along. The defense is getting better. Yes, there's some stuff that has to be cleaned up on third down, but if you can cut the turnovers, if you can just get rid of the turnovers, if you can cut them in half, if you can protect the ball a little bit more, there's still some wins on the schedule. I mean, our schedule is still the most manageable schedule that I've ever seen at Auburn. And it's even more manageable because Oklahoma is very beatable. Kentucky's beatable. Missouri's beatable. All of these teams seem beatable if you can just protect the ball and play some defense. And I think Auburn can do that. You just got to figure out how to protect the ball. And maybe this short leash thing is something that can inspire one of these quarterbacks to, you know, hey, we've got to protect the ball. It also can make them start second guessing themselves. So there's two edges to that sword. And we'll see obviously how that plays out. So a very important question I think that needs to be asked is 2025 quarterback. Is the 2025 starting quarterback on the roster right now? Could it be Walker White? Could it be Hank Brown? Could it be they're not on the roster now, so that answers the question. Could it be one of those two guys? Peyton's gone. Holden Garner. Could it be Holden Garner? He may give it one more shot and see what he can do to try to win the job. It seems like he's not factored into the plans whatsoever because throughout this whole thing, he's never been gone to. So only other time was to throw the Hail Mary at the end of New Mexico, and he scrambled for 6 yards. So I don't know that he's actually in the solution, in the plan to be a solution, but is the quarterback on the roster? And I think as of right now, I would say the answer is no. I would say there's no way that the quarterback – there's no way you can go into year three and have one of those guys be the guy, unfortunately, at this point in time. Now, could Hank have a fire lit under him and just start lighting it up and have a great back half of the season? Absolutely. I don't think it's out of the question at all. He's got some experience under his belt. He knows he's been able to make some mistakes and sort of maybe have a chance to correct them. He could possibly be the guy next year, but I think you have to go – into the portal. You have to go, not only go into the portal, but go big game hunting in the portal and be ready to spin. And I understand people's being reticent to think that could happen, but the organization is in place now. And you look at if you really look at the winter portal additions versus the spring portal additions, the spring portal had probably less to choose from. But that was the time, especially from difference making talent. The spring portal is probably less to choose from, but you had your organization in place and you made three really big pickups who got two starters in Isaiah Rakes and Keandre Lambert Smith, who may be one of the best players on the team. So you were able to do that. So it makes me feel a lot more confident that you've got those guys working for what? Eight months now, kind of preparing and lead scouting and leading up to the winter portal to be able to add some guys that can maybe change the chain of events as far as how this team goes, moves going forward under Hugh Freeze. I think you definitely have to go into the portal in December and get your quarterback. Now, those names, I'm sure there's at least some, I don't want to say contact because obviously that'd be tampering, but there's got to be at least some targeting from as far as like you're already sort of picking out, maybe drawing up your board as far as like who some guys that you feel like could be, could chant, could take this ball and go with it? Like, who are the guys that you think could fit this system that have been, I think you got to go proven to. I don't think you can take a guy, even if he was a highly rated guy, I don't think you can take a guy like, let's just throw out a name. Like, let's just think about somebody that's had some Auburn ties in the past, but hasn't, very highly rated, but hasn't had a chance to play yet. I think about a guy like an Aaron Noland or somebody like that, that went to the Ohio State, who's from Georgia. Could he want to come home and play? Well, would love to have him, but there's no experience there. So can you gamble 2025? Because 2025, the pressure now is at an all-time high to actually show something moving forward, show something that seems like you can get behind and see the light at the end of tunnels, light at the end of the tunnel. Could it be a freshman quarterback? Could Deuce Knight come in and win the competition? If you pivot from Deuce Knight and throw a Hail Mary and land a Juju Lewis, which is, seems way far-fetched, or any other freshman guy that you come in who just somehow maybe lights it up and just beats out the guys on the roster. Regardless, it feels like at this point, through four games in the season, your starting quarterback for 2025, we don't know who that is, and it's not on the roster. So we'll see how, obviously, we got eight more games that to see if, you know, Hank can turn it on. I think he's got the skills. He's got the he's got all the tools, but can he make it happen? But as of right now, obviously, I feel like you got to go to the portal. So we'll see. We'll see what happens over the next eight games. And when that chatter starts to pick up, when it does, we'll definitely be discussing it in here. But, guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you for joining in on a Monday after a loss. We're going to be back every single day talking about it. So if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Join the barn, auburn.com, for only $1 for the first month. You can have all this conversation days earlier. We're having really good talks, and it's cordial too, which I love. I love the fact that we don't have a bunch of people calling each other idiots. It's just good conversation, and I feel like we do a really good job, and it's a lot of fun. So join in for only $1. And then obviously follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. And then we'll be back at it every single day. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.